We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Alexander. McCollum staying with him. Spins, gets inside. Left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot. Backdoor. What a pass. What a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This is Udart. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up and welcome to the Uncontested Podcast, coming to you live Friday, April 5th from Dave's Hot Chicken in Bricktown, Oklahoma City, where the Thunder, for the first time this season, lose their third game in a row, 126-112 to the Indiana Pacers, 0-2 against the Pacers this year. I'm your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen. Next to me, I've got my guy, Taylor Peterson.
I am stuffed from Dave's Hot Chicken, but what a fun night it was, even if the game wasn't so fun.
Yes, we will. We'll dive into the game in just a second, but the Uncontested's official Thunder watch party took place tonight at Dave's Hot Chicken. We had this place packed out, gave away a lot of stickers, a lot of little goodies, and had some incredible chicken. Taylor, what'd you eat?
I had the 2 slider meal, which is my go-to. There we go.
Oh, God, you just got really loud.
Got loud all of a sudden. Yeah, I got the 2 slider meal. That's my favorite. Went with medium. I'm a little scarred from Reaper the last time us three were here with Nick. So,
Which part of you was scarred?
My stomach, my esophagus.
Anus. Am I allowed to say that while we're in Dave's Hot Chicken? I got some tenders, some cheese fries. Got to go with the cheese fries. Everyone that came tonight, I pitched them on the cheese fries. So they had to get the cheese fries. Just an awesome event. Lots of people came out. Even though the game wasn't great, we had a wonderful time here at Dave's Hot Chicken tonight. Literally like my favorite spot in Bricktown. So just super thankful that we got to host this event here tonight. And Taylor, not our only sponsored event that we have coming up in the next 9 days.
A lot of exciting stuff coming up. And like you said, the first one will be a week from tomorrow, Sunday.
Maybe tomorrow. Most of these people are probably listening on Saturday night.
True.
Oh, am I supposed to follow up there? Okay. Next Sunday is the Thunder final home game of the season. Final game of the season against the Dallas Mavericks, 2:30 p.m. at Paycom Center. At the conclusion of that game, we will be across the street at Spark OKC, eating some burgers and podcasting live as you guys are leaving the Paycom Center from the final game of the season. So if you will be at the arena next Sunday night, or Sunday afternoon, I guess, please make sure swing by Spark once the game is over, because you can hear the post game live at Spark. Typically on Sundays, we do our shows at 9 p.m. However, this next coming Sunday, not 2 days from now, but 9 days from now, we will be doing it at around 5:30 at Spark. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time.
Just check the weather. 72 degrees. Should be awesome outside. So be sure to stop by and see us.
It is going to be a blast. All right. Shout out to Dave's. Shout out to the folks here at Dave's. They let us set up this huge banner, which is dope as well. So thank you so much to them. Everyone, I think, is now bought in to watching the Caitlin Clark experience. So shout out to Caitlin Clark. I take her with the number 1 overall pick in the
no
NBA
kidding.
draft. We got to talk about this basketball game, Taylor. 126 to 112. The Pacers win. Thunder without Shea, without Dub for their third straight game. It is their third straight loss. The first time they have lost three games in a row this entire season, which is kind of
crazy to think about.
Insane when you consider that the average age of this team is 22.6 years old. That should not be the case. But here we are. It comes at a crappy time, kind of down the stretch. The Denver Nuggets lost Thursday night to the LA Clippers. So a win tonight would have pushed the Thunder up to second in the West. Instead, they stay at third. I believe the Clippers are now 3.5 games behind them, albeit there's only 6 games left. It's a near impossibility that the Clippers do catch them. So third seed looking more and more likely for the Thunder now. OKC also sent Shai Gilgeous-Alexander home. They threw him on a plane, shipped him back to Oklahoma City. That sounds like he's like a piece of cargo. He went willingly, as far as I know.
He did not accept my invite to come by the watch party, unfortunately.
Yeah, should have came, Shai. But he is back home, so he will not be available Sunday night. J-Dub upgraded to doubtful today, did participate in shoot-around, obviously did not play. That's kind of some of the background, the injury report. But big takeaway from this one, Taylor, when we talk about the headline of this game, what is it?
For me, I think it's got to be Thunder three-point shooting. The Thunder shoots 8 of 30 from the floor, or from 3 tonight, to the Pacers 15 of 35. It's not even like they put up a ton of three-point attempts. They just could not hit three-pointers to save their lives. And we kind of talked about this with some of our friends who were here at the watch party. But when you don't have those primary creators and Dub and Shai, it seems to make the offense 10 times harder. Even when you have a great creator in the form of Josh Giddey, just the way the defense is able to collapse and hone in, like you mentioned, the amount of extra passes it takes to get some of these wide open looks. In comparison to a Shai or a Dub driving, and you essentially have a spot-up shooter wide open, just seemed like everything was 10 times harder than it has been throughout the majority of this season.
For sure. I think the three-point shooting is the story of the game. When the other team makes 7 more threes than you, you're probably not going to win a basketball game. When you look at the percentages tonight, Thunder shoot 49% from the field. Like, you take that. That's a good shooting night. They shoot 83% from the free throw line. They took more free throws than the Pacers. Thunder were 20 of 24 from the line. Rebounds, they tied 39 to 39. You take that. The big things tonight. Thunder had 15 turnovers. A lot of things felt very self-inflicted tonight. And like you mentioned, shooting 27% from three for the team that's the number one team in the league in three-point shooting. When that happens, you're probably just not going to win a game.
Yep.
All that being said, the Thunder score 112 tonight against the Pacers. Like, that should be enough to win, but you give up 126. I felt like there was way too many times where the Pacers had wide open threes. And when you don't have Shai and Dub, you are not going to win a shootout. You have to really commit to the defensive side of the ball. And the Thunder just gave up way too many open looks tonight. Pacers shot 52% from the field, 43% from three, 90% from the free throw line. When a team goes 52, 43, 90, that's really hard to overcome. And that's just kind of where they're at. You were talking about the types of threes the Thunder were getting. Lots of conversations tonight about the Thunder. Whenever everybody is healthy, you have two guys that can create for themselves. And when they are able to break down a defense, get into the lane, and collapse a defense, it creates open shooters. Those guys don't always shoot. They catch and they drive and they kick, but it gets a defense in rotation. The Thunder just have a really hard time getting a defense in rotation right now when you don't have those primary on-ball creators. And that's kind of where they were tonight. That's where they've been the past three nights. I think a valiant effort. They were up 10 in the first quarter. Yeah. Like, they were executing well, but it's just as the game wears on, they kind of lose steam. They lose focus. And especially in those fourth quarters, the Thunder made a push in the third quarter again tonight to get it to 4. It's almost the same story as that Boston Celtics game. You're hanging around, you're not shooting well, but everything else is going your way. And then the fourth quarter hits and it just
the wheels unravels. Fall off. Yeah. Exactly. No, I think you're Exactly right. got somebody coming up with stickers. That's awesome. I also think about the types of lineups that Mark has out there as well. It just seems to be a lot of not a great amount of chemistry within these lineups. I think about, like, for example, the Thunder started Gordon Hayward and Isaiah Joe tonight instead of Kaysen Wallace and Aaron Wiggins. And it seems to me that Mark's using this opportunity, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but to try out new things. We saw Isaiah Joe on the ball a lot more than we've seen for the majority of the season, if at all. Instead of that being Kaysen, we saw more Kaysen in the second half, obviously, because Hayward ended up getting hurt. So that's another injury to add to the injury report for the Thunder. But when you don't have the chemistry, like these lineups aren't used to playing with each other, I think that's why we're seeing some of those issues offensively, Jacob, but also defensively as well. Even open, not closing out on shooters, missing defensive rotations. There was a time there in the third quarter where Mark calls a timeout because Dort, or maybe it was Giddy, I think Giddy got pulled for this, went under a screen on Tyrese Haliburton that led to a wide open Haliburton three. Yeah. Things like that that we aren't really accustomed to seeing from a really sound defensive team in the Thunder.
Also part of the problem tonight was a little man I like to call TJ McConnell, so we are live in Dave's Hot Chicken. I don't see anybody under the age of 12. Absolutely busted their asses tonight. I mean, just cooked the Thunder. TJ, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 10 assists, 7 of 12 from the field, a plus 22 in a 14-point game. When you look at plus minuses, which you typically shouldn't just look at like single game, single player plus minus, every Thunder starter minus Josh Giddey was a plus tonight. Josh was a minus one. Every Thunder bench player was a minus. Minus Mike Muscala in his 7 minutes was a plus three. Pascal Siakam, a minus five. Andrew Nembhard, a minus eight. But then you look at the Pacer bench. Plus 18 for Toppin. Plus 14 for Doug McDermott. Plus 22 for TJ McConnell. Plus 12 for Ben Shepherd. When the Thunder are down two starters, so they're playing two bench guys, and then that means you're going deeper into your rotation. The bench is just that much thinner, and they got absolutely blitzed. I think the Thunder are a deep team, but from these past three games, what I've learned is you're going to have like a 9 to 10 man rotation in the playoffs, and you're going to stick with the guys that work, with your Aaron Wiggins, with your Kaysen Wallaces, with your Kenrich Williams. Kenrich had a wonderful night tonight. I'm trying to pull up his stat line here real quick. 18 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, 7 of 7 from the field.
2 from 3.
Yeah, Kenny is rounding into form, which is awesome. Kaysen Wallace, a minus 29. Like, that is
that's bad.
Not great tonight.
2 points, 1 of 5 from the floor. Just not a lot of opportunity for Kaysen. Seemed like he kind of struggled there. Like I mentioned, Isaiah Joe getting the nod in the starting lineup. Kaysen was kind of the primary, I don't know, even know if you'd call him the primary scorer or scoring option off the bench, but certainly seemed to throw him off his game when he came in.
Yeah. I thought other guys played well. Isaiah Joe was good. Josh Giddey, not super efficient, but 14, 9, and 12. Dort with a pretty efficient 22 tonight, although he only hit 2 of 7 from 3. Chet got to the free throw line a lot, but was pretty inefficient from the field, only 4 of 12.
Chet's been weird. There was a lot of people asking us about Chet. Maybe let's take this time to talk a little bit about Chet's recent stretch. People here at the watch party were asking you and I both, like, do we think Chet's hurt? Is he just tired? And honestly, he does. It looks like tired legs to me. It looks like a rookie player who's come into the league and has played the most games of his entire career in this stretch of a time period. But he's getting like bodied by Miles Turner, which, you know, a lot of people do that. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like he's not nearly as engaged on the defense side of the ball, even though he had 3 blocks. And offensively, he's just not nearly as confident as he has been. He just looks gassed to me.
A lot of the shots look short. He had like some awesome moves to the basket tonight. Had a dunk go in and out, which is very strange from him. Just not the best night from Chet Holmgren. A guy like Lindy Waters plays 18 minutes tonight. I know the team is high on Lindy. I think that kind of tells you all you need to know about how things are going with the Thunder right now when you're relying on, again, Lindy's a great guy, but two-way player, right? Played a lot of G League games this year. He's coming in playing 18 minutes. I mean, good night for him, but if you're relying on 18 minutes from Lindy on the road against a team that is fighting to avoid the play-in the Eastern Conference, like, that's probably not a recipe for success.
Well, meanwhile, Jay Will gets 12 minutes and Wiggins gets 16, so a minute less than Waters. If Mark were asked about it post-game, he would say, well, we liked what we saw from Lindy. We wanted to run with it. Honestly, I think this just kind of goes to show you that the Thunder, I don't want to say they don't care about winning these games right now, but they understand that they're locked into that top three seed, essentially. It's time to get Dub and Shea. Right, yeah, true.
At the top three.
Dub and Shea healthy, but also putting guys like Isaiah Joe into the position I talked about earlier, giving Lindy a little more burn off the bench rather than just playing Kaysen and Wiggins a ton. I kind of would have liked to see that and see them win this game by playing Kaysen and Wiggins a ton, but that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what you're
really
saying.
Kaysen hasn't played a lot on this road trip, and that's kind of surprising to me.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I kind of wish they'd play him a little bit more just for the plethora of things he can do. I talked about guys not being able to create their own shot and break a defense down. Feels like Kaysen and Aaron Wiggins like might be the best options to do that. And they just didn't really get an opportunity. But maybe it's also like some managing minutes to keep guys fresh. Like you said, you're basically guaranteed a top three spot. Get guys ready for the playoffs next week. Not next week, 2 weeks from now. Is that not crazy?
I was just about to say, that's insane.
It's kind of hard to believe. They have one more road game Sunday, and then they come home for a stretch of four, and then
it's playoff time.
It's playoff basketball time.
Play-in time, which will be nice. The Thunder get an additional 5 days rest there, I believe, off the top of my head. That will be much needed. Yes. And then it's playoff basketball in OKC.
Not that it matters at all, but a quick update from around the league. The Timberwolves play at the Suns tonight. That's a pretty one for standings. That one hasn't tipped yet at the time of this recording. Clippers and Jazz play tonight. The Jazz kind of suck, but the Clippers are on a second night of a back-to-back. Mavs and Warriors locked in a tight one, and the Pelicans lose to the Spurs.
Ooh, interesting.
So we that if it is Thunder at three, that sixth seed is still going to be very much up in the air. Pelicans have been struggling a lot lately. Also, shout out to the Bucks, who might lose to the Raptors, who the Wolves beat by 50 the other night. Spoiler alert. Can I get one more Bucks?
Bucks. So much harder to do. I feel like I've been yelling the whole night.
I think the Bucks just might suck. Like, they just haven't been good, like, at all. Rockets also getting blown out by the Heat, which is good for the Thunder because the Thunder own that Rockets pick. So
true.
So Taylor, one more game on the road against Charlotte. What are you looking for in that upcoming game?
Well, here's the low-hanging fruit. I'm looking for J-Dub to play Sunday. He was upgraded to doubtful. I think I saw somebody at the watch party told me game time decision, although I'm not sure. I never saw that.
But he also went through shoot around this morning, which I think is good significant.
Point. And Shea wasn't present. Well, because he was back in OKC.
Yeah, he was in Oklahoma City.
And I know it sounds kind of ridiculous to say, but I will be looking to see if Dub plays Sunday since he wasn't sent home with Shea. So if you get Dub back, that obviously helps things tremendously. But then the Thunder three-point shooting. I think I talked about this on one of the podcasts last week. But the Thunder are going to have to convert these open three-point attempts if they're going to beat some of these teams. And I would really like to see that. We need to gain some momentum heading into the playoffs, even if we're down some of our big-time players.
Definitely. So speaking of gaining momentum going into the playoffs, three road games, three losses. Knicks fans have to be so pissed off that Shea and Dub played that one game. Shea hit that game winner and then just hasn't played again since. Like, the Knicks got to be pissed. Things you have learned in the four-game road trip here that you think are going to be impactful or translate to postseason basketball for Oklahoma City? I have two questions for you. That's question number one.
I think we are going to see a lot of small ball come playoff time. That's no shocker. We figured that was going to be the case. But Jacob, after this recent stretch, even as good as Jay Will has been, I kind of think we aren't going to see a ton of Jay Will during the playoffs. It's going to be a lot of Kendrick Williams at center and maybe even Gordon Hayward. Next one.
Gordon did leave the game tonight with left lower leg soreness, I think. Is that the same calf that he injured this season?
I didn't even think about that. It's a good point.
I'm trying to think of the leg sleeve that he wears. I'm trying to picture which leg it's on. You got a 50% chance of being right.
Like my chances.
Chet would have shot 50%.
Maybe related to Gordon. Game. We talked about this on Wednesday's podcast, I believe. But Aaron Wiggins needs more minutes and Gordon Hayward needs less. So come playoff time, I would like to see more Wiggins playing with the confidence that he does and just making things happen in comparison to Gordon Hayward, who's had every opportunity to with Shea and Dubout and just refuses to shoot the ball or make anything happen.
I thought he was decent tonight. He had 7 points. He shot three field goals, three free throws. Would you say that if Gordon Hayward walked in here to order Dave's hot chicken right now?
Yeah. Be like, Gordon, see that spice level up there? Need you to bump it up. Bump it up a couple spice levels for us.
I think he could afford every spice level with the contract he has. If I got paid per shot the way he does, you'd never see me again. I'd retire and move far, far away.
What else? What do you have?
I think you found your playoff rotation. Like, that's where I'm at. You kind of touch on it with specific guys, but Cason Wallace, Isaiah Joe, Kenrich Williams. I think Jay will play matchup dependent. If it's a Kings matchup, I think Jay will plays. Yep. If it's a Pelicans matchup, I think Jay will plays. If it's a Warriors matchup, I don't see him play as much. So I think Jay will is kind of up in the air as far as matchup. But I think you figured out your Aaron Wiggins, your Cason Wallace, your Kenrich Williams, your Isaiah Joes. Those are going to be like your four main guys off the bench in the playoffs. And I think that starting five is going to, like, I wouldn't be surprised if all five of those guys play 40 plus a night.
Yep.
I think that's kind of the direction we're trending towards. So that was question one. Question two. I'm stalling right now because I totally forgot what question two was. Where do you think they're going to end? I don't know if that was question two, but that's what I'm going to ask you.
I'm going to say three. I think I said three on Wednesday show because, like I said, I didn't think Dub or Shea were going to play this week.
I remember I'm question two now, but finish answering.
Yeah.
Three. I'm coming at 3-2. With this three-game losing stretch down the stretch of the season here, the first three-game losing streak of the season, has that changed your opinion at all about what this team can do in the postseason? Like, everyone talks about playing your best basketball late. They've lost three straight. Obviously, they've been without their two best guys. Has this changed your opinion on what will happen with postseason basketball with this team?
You do bring up a good point, and that it's not just like missing Dub and Shea. It's, we talked about the missed three-point shots, how much better this team is when they're knocking down those shots and spacing the floor. The defensive effort hasn't been there, and there's a multitude of reasons for that, but it is a little concerning if the Thunder aren't playing their best basketball at the right time. All that being said, I think all those questions are solved if Shea comes back and he's completely healthy. I think Dub's going to come back and be just fine. In fact, if this were 2 months ago, he's probably playing tonight. But if Shea comes back and is completely healthy, that allows like the Aaron Wiggins, the Isaiah Joes, the Cason Wallaces, who've kind of found the Josh Giddey, who have found their footing here over the past week or two, are playing more confident. That also kind of starts to click at the same time, and you have a really dangerous basketball team. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I think I'm with you. It doesn't make me super scared because I feel like guys have separated themselves these past four games. The only thing that I worry about is the tiredness of Chet. Yes. They need that week off. Because if you remember, post All-Star Chet was a badass. Yep. And they need that level of Chet back. Also, again, this is going to be old news because like we're recording a live podcast and people will probably listen on Saturday. But the chat is blowing up about the Wolves Phoenix matchup tonight. Which just tipped and is currently 13-0 Phoenix.
Woo!
So that might be good.
Yeah.
Well, Denver lost. We lost. Wolves lost. Nobody gains any ground.
It's a push.
That would be okay. It also kind of makes me super scared to play Phoenix. I know we're 3-0 against Phoenix this season, but they've been on a heater.
They have. They've been much better. It helps when Booker is scoring a lot of points. And
yeah, I want to ask you your preference for the playoffs, but Sunday show is going to be all about
playoff
drafting
matchups.
Who we like in playoff matchups. So we will see that. Also, the chat mentioning it was the left calf earlier this season for Gayward. That's going to get me canceled on the internet. Hayward, it's the same leg, so that's...
not good.
Is it worrisome because you don't want the guy to be hurt? Yes. Is it worrisome because you're going to miss his production? Not so much.
I think that's very fair.
Yep. Anything else for this one? Chat's already canceling me.
All right, Jacob's already canceled after our watch party.
Horward, or instead of Gordon, it'd be Horden Gayward. That's what I went with there. That's
well, hey, just again, special shout out to everybody who came out to watch us podcast live. Those of you all who are staying here watching us.
Hey, last time we had three people stay. This time we have, it's not quick math. It's like seven.
Yeah.
But
we're growing.
Damn it. We're growing.
It was just an awesome night. We had, some people driving like 2 hours. I think somebody came up from Dallas. Just really, really cool. Great community of Thunder fans, and stay tuned. Like Jacob mentioned, it's not just this upcoming Sunday. We have something planned. A lot of fun, exciting stuff coming up for the playoffs. So stay tuned.
Definitely. I wonder if people... So on Wednesday, Nick told everybody that if you hit him up on and like DM'd him on Twitter and said you were coming, he would Venmo you money for your first beer. I wonder if anybody did that to get the Venmo money and then just didn't show up and stole Nick's money. I hope that happened. If it did, DM me and I will double Nick's money because you stole from Nick.
Yeah, we didn't take attendance. No sign-in sheets tonight.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will be back Sunday night, 9 p.m. Central Time, after the conclusion of the Thunder versus Charlotte Hornets game, also known as the Thunder versus Thunder game, as Charlotte has basically all of the former Thunder players this season.
The Poku revenge game.
Poku versus Chet is going to be an incredible matchup that I will simultaneously like love it and hate it at the same time. Especially if one of them cooks against the other. What if Poku gives Chet like a 2010-10 game?
I won't be feeling like nearly as good about the playoffs.
Neither will I, but I will feel great for Poku.
That's right.
Simultaneously, if Chet cooks Poku, I will feel just fine.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for coming out to Dave's Hot Chicken if you did tonight. We really appreciate the support. I know Dave's appreciates it as well. I think a whole middle school class just came in here. So we are going to hop off this show and we will see you guys Sunday. Until then, and as always, Thunder up.
Thunder up.